we're starting Perek Tet Zayin in Sefer Yirmiyahu. V'idvar Hashem elai lemor, lo sikach lecha isha v'lo yu lecha banim uvanos b'makom hazeh. You shall not take a wife, and you shall not have sons and daughters in this place. Now, there is a debate over Yirmiyahu's private life, over whether this means he was never married, or it just means that he could not marry in this place, which would be Anatot, his hometown. As the parak continues, and we're told why he is given this bizarre command, you may recall another Navi, which is very similar to Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu seems to take a lot of his messages. Hoshea HaNavi, who was meant to be a paradigm of the relationship between God and his people by marrying a Zona. Right? So here, Yirmiyahu is paradigmatic of even a worse situation where you're not to be married at all. Because Hashem is, Bnei Yisrael Kebeyochel has become Haisok Ke'almana. You're like a woman without a husband. So, but there's actually a simple practical reason why Hashem is telling him not to take a wife, is because any child born in this place, as the next pasuk says, Ki cho amar Hashem ala banim ala banot hayilodim b'makom hazeh, any son and daughter born in this place from here on, va'ali mosam ha'yoldoso sam, and the women who bear them, va'ala vosam ha'molidim osam ba'aretz hazos, and the men who father them in this place, mimosei tachaloim yamusu, they will die a terrible death of disease. Lo yisaf duv lo yikaveru, they will not be eulogized, they will not even be buried. L'domen al pnei ha'adama yihiyu, they will be as fertilizer for the ground and food for the animals. Uvacherev v'rav yichlu v'haysa nivloisam l'ma'achol la'of ha'shemayim l'vamasa aretz. They will fall by the sword, they will fall to hunger. This is really, really a terrible, terrible thing. I mean, we've seen it happen. We've seen this also, it's not the first time he's even spoken this way. The Haftarah of Tisha B'Av has Yirmiyahu speaking this way also. But here he's being very specific about the people of Anatot. A few side notes. Yirmiyahu, in chapter 11, speaks about the destiny of Anatot. He says that this city is so evil, his own hometown. We spoke about that as a descendant of Eli from the banished city for Kohanim, city for banished Kohanim. So the city of Anatot was so evil that Yirmiyahu says that no one will return to this city. No one from this city who will be exiled will return in the future. As opposed to everyone else, that will be after 70 years, there will be remnants from each place in Israel, but not from Anatot. So it says in Sefer Nehemiah, when he lists all the communities returning to Israel, he lists among them Anatot. 123 people came from Anatot, back to Anatot. So it's really a direct contradiction. The answer is that Yirmiyahu himself establishes the fact that if Bnei Israel do a tremendous tshuva, that can undo any prophecy. They say, oh, there's a Gzar Din, and the Shvua, and Yom Kippur, Shana Rabba, Hanukkah, there's always another chance. But the fact, though, remains that we don't know what the Shvua is, what the Gzera is. The Navi says it's going to be this, and Hashem always likes to keep the door open, just a little bit. So that because if you know this, all right, all the tshuva in the world isn't going to help, so I won't. So let's sort of a tzakonas hashavim, like in Bava Kama. Remember, to make it easier to do tshuva, so we don't make the person dismantle what he stole. We just pay the amount. So we leave it open, because Yirmiyahu says when Hashem makes a promise for evil, it can always be undone. But the promise for good, it does not get undone. He himself establishes that in chapter 28. And in addition, there's a prophecy that Yehoyachin will die childless, right? And that no descendant of his will ever serve on the throne. And yet, Yehoyachin's grandson was Rubavel. Rubavel ben Shaltiel ben Yehoyachin. So, and the very thing that Yirmiyahu says he won't be, a chosom on my throne, that's what Haggai says. Put Rubavel as the chosom on God's throne. Why Yirmiyahu would use such a strange word? Just say he won't be a melech. Because Rubavel couldn't be crowned Melech. He was, the Persians were in charge. You don't want to call him a Melech. So Haggai calls him a Chosam. Fair enough. That's the same.
Chosam being
someone who signs documents and they're binding. Something like that. So this is what's going on. Nebuch, the destiny that is waiting to happen to the people of Anatot because of their treachery. All right. So, but there's still a few questions to ask about this. One, why are children being punished for the sins of their parents? So Yirmiyahu himself establishes later in the book that people always say that the parents eat rotten grapes and the teeth of the children rot. So Yirmiyahu says they will no longer say that. But right now they're saying it. But look, it's a maisa b'chol yom that parents sin and children suffer for them in a natural way. A parent gets behind the wheel of a car while drunk. That's a sin. And the child in the car might be punished for that.
But the Torah also always has, I'll visit upon your children generation.
Right.
Well, are you sure that it's referring to the children? Is Mama Sadie referring to the parents? Or the children as well?
Right. Well, look, Pasuk Gemara, it says, Banim Abanot HaYeludim B'makom Hazeh, They will all die in this place. So the ones who are already born who live here, okay, their fate is sealed. But why give birth? Why give birth for like Amram was saying about giving birth in Egypt? Here he's saying it's even worse. So a few questions you can say. All right, so let me have a wife here, and I'll take them out of here. I'll go someplace else. All right, if you do that, that could work, but it's not so easy. And second of all, the Radak says in the beginning of Yecheskel something amazing. Is that Yecheskel was Yirmiyahu's son? It says, in my opinion, Yecheskel, they're both Kohanim, but he's called Yecheskel ben Buzi. So he, Buzi because Yirmiyahu was castigated, despised, and downcast by. So why Yecheskel would refer to his father as Buzi? For goodness sakes, why would you do that? Would you give your father a nickname like that? Because who would ever call his child Buzi to begin with? Surely he should have given a different name. Buzi is me.
Maybe it's self-protection.
Yeah, so figure some svaras. But the Radak nonetheless says that he's of the opinion that Yecheskel was Yirmiyahu's son. They could have been born before this. Could have been born, as you make a diuk in Pasuk Beis, in another place. So the Radak is well aware, I'm sure, of the fact that he's told not to marry here. Okay, if you read a few lines in the Radak, it says, "Lo tikach lecha isha." In the third line there, it's right at the top. It says, "Yesh."
Yeah.
Okay. Hinei mavocha lama tzivahu hakel shlo tikach isha v'lo yolid banim v'vanot. It's a very great confusion. Why Hashem would tell him this bizarre command. Lufisha nigzerok is a ra la banim bala banot, hayilodim ba makom hazeh. Shia musu barav. Right? So the gzera is right there in the pasuk, but the Radak asks a simple question. Vichilo ya kedai Yirmiyahu sheyu banav bizchuto. Vineg tanime name simela bavona vosehem. Vimiyahu lo ya lo avon shia musu banav bavona. Children before Bar and Bas Mitzvah only die not for their own guilt, so couldn't this chus of Yirmiyahu, if they only die for their parents, so Yirmiyahu wouldn't be such a parent. Why wouldn't Yirmiyahu Zechuyo stand up for the others, right? Okay, well, so Nigzer Agzera Shiyamusa Bechera Vuvarav, Agzera Al Ktsasam, Velo Al Kulam. Kigam galus nigzar alehem, vineno mar benevus yecheskel al Yerushalayim, vineno seres ba pleita motzim ba nimuvanos. First of all, by saying this, the Radak feels that it's possible at this point, although the Radak will change his mind in a few lines, that we're talking about Yerushalayim, the makom hazeh Yerushalayim. Right? Because he's saying, but Yerushalayim, Hashem said, I will bring back a remnant from Yerushalayim. So surely Yirmiyahu's kids could have been amongst that remnant. Why are we so sure that Yirmiyahu will die? Right? You see the kind of passion? Right? V'od shegam al havot v'ala imahot gzar shemusu v'lo mesu kulam sherei galu mehem. Right? So it says that he reiterates the earlier question, is that Yecheskel also has a similar nevuah about Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim, we're told in the end, did have a remnant. So let Yirmiyahu's children be amongst that remnant. Clearly, you know, you, at this point, you can say, "Kibin shenita and reshus the mashkes ligov ain't a mavchid mitzalik of Russia." Once the mashkes is out in the street, Nebuchadnezzar's men are not going to say, "Oh, his father was villain, so they don't kill him." You know, the point is that at this point you can say this, but the Radak, however, moves in a different direction. He says because the makom hazeh is not Yerushalayim. Right? Umash ani roeh bazeh, hu ki b'makom hazeh ratzolomar ba'anatot. Uva anatot no marlo nevuza. The makom hazeh is his hometown. So if it's anatot because of the total wickedness of the place, it would have such a deleterious effect on everyone there. Right, so Uvanatot no Marlo Nevuza Vizira Shaloi Kach Isha Velo Yolid Banim Uvanot Sham Kinigzirog Zerala Banim Uvanot Anoladim Banatot V'chein Amar Lamala Lanshe Anatot U'she'erit Lo Tiyah Lohem Ki Avi Ra'a Lanshe Anatot Shnat Pekudatam. So I just referred to that back in chapter 11. Although it says in Nehemiah that prophecy was undone, Amar ki lo tiyeh sherit la'anshei anatot, aval b'Yerushalayim tiyeh sherit u'pleita, kemo shenemar b'nevuot Yechezkel. V'hinei notara ba'pleita, hamotziim banim uvanot, v'kiven shenigzero gzera zu al anshei anatot, kulam im yu l'irmiyahu sham, kulam im yu l'irmiyahu sham banim uvanot, yasufu b'chlal acherim. Right? That if Yirmiyahu would have children there, they would share the fate of everyone else in Anatot. Kimosh Nemar, ki ad tzedek yeshuv mishpat, kimosh yepirashnu b'mekomo. On that pasuk, it says that mimer about the righteous being swept up with the wicked. Ki yesuf tzedik echad b'soch alpayim anashim chayavim, because one tzedek might fall amongst many others. Sometimes, like Avraham wanted, la'yesh chamishim tzadikim b'socha yir, maybe some righteous people in the midst of a town, if they're b'socha yir, can change things. But that's not going to happen. There's not enough people here. Okay, k'mashu kasuv lelot, pentispe ba'avon ha'ir. Right? You might fall with the avon of the city. Kol shekein, mi she'in lo zchus me'atzmo, k'mo abanim v'abanos. Right? Surely, maybe Yirmiyahu could survive, but maybe the children don't have their own zchus. This chus avos maybe should be enough. V'ilu ayuli Yirmiyahu banim uvanot banatot. V'ayom otziyam me'anatot. Terem b'hagzera. Lo ayu nisafim im ha'acherim. Ela shelo ayu manichin osam kroveyen b'nei anatot. Ki lo ayu manimim b'nevua. So he asked the question I said before. Why not have children in anatot and take them out before the gzera? Right? Said his family wouldn't let him. His relatives wouldn't let him. Right. Wow. Okay. V'afilu hayo Yirmiyahu atzmo banatot, shema lo yinatzel bein kulam. Maybe even if Yirmiyahu would remain there.
Right. Still.
Ma shemar hema levadam yinatzlu zehu kshiyu shlosha tzadikim b'ir achas. It's only when you have three righteous people. We already know that Yirmiyahu didn't have any other righteous people besides himself, because in chapter 5 it says, "Find me one righteous man in Yerushalayim and I'll save Yerushalayim." Obviously, they didn't find that righteous man who was Mevakeshim, and who was really out there trying to get people to do tshuva. Right? So who is he talking about, these three righteous men? Do you have a yud in your word Daniel? See the word Daniel?
Yes, it has a yud.
All right, but in the text it doesn't.
Never.
No. In Sefer Daniel, the prophet Daniel, who was with lions and went to a furnace, his name is spelled with yud. But in the pasuk he's quoting, this is a pasuk in Yechezkel. There, it's not Daniel; it's Dani with Dal Nun Aleph Lamed, which has made some scholars say it's not the Daniel of Tanakh, but a very famous mythological figure called Daniel. Have you ever heard of him? Ever read any Epic of Kret? Remember that? But Noach and Eov might have been three. You know, the Chazal say Eov is a mythological figure, and Noach may have been known in ancient circles as a righteous man who could save. And each one had a different name for him, Pishtim or Gilgim or whatever.
Right.
And each so these could be three. The scholars point this out because it's missing the yud. Where Yechezkel would know Daniel. Who
you mean, could
have to have been very, very young at the time. All right, but because Daniel is around, you know, with Dayavish right. many years later. So, Yechezkel may have made the main nevuah late in his life about a very young Daniel, but Daniel is not known for tzidkus because he's known for chachma. This Daniel in the epic is right most righteous man of the ancient world. So, it could be that this the three of them together fit in this category. I'm not going to elaborate. K'moshe kesuv Noach Daniel v'Iyov b'socha lo amar tzadik echod levad elu k'shem shlosha o yoseri notzelu. I don't know if that's the pshat he's talking about. These three didn't live at the same time. Or is the Radak actually submitting to such an opinion? Noach, Iyov, and Daniel lived at three vastly different times. If this is the Daniel of... I know, the Radak says that it's the Daniel of Tanakh and his parish, Yechezkel. What's he saying? These three didn't live at the same time. And I'm saying, in other words, Yirmiyahu alone couldn't save the children. You need three. What the Pasuk is saying in Yechezkel is that these three were righteous enough to spare themselves, but they could not spare their generation. So, lo mar tzadik echod levad elu k'shem shlosha yoseri natzelu ki tzdorfu zuchiyo shloshta natzilam. V'im yu asara heim b'tzidko sam yatzilu kol o'ir. How do you know that? If there are 10 righteous, then they can save the whole city. We know that from stone.
Right.
Because Avram stopped at 10. K'moshe k'suvin asasi l'chol ha'akom b'avaram.
Assuming that the children of Iyov were punished for sin? I mean, how did he...
Oh, because they got lost. They got when he suffered his stuff. They died, yeah, right?
Right. Because so machlokes whether they were killed or they were kidnapped and then brought back at the end. Because at the end,
you're right. They come right.
So, or that remember they seemed to sin at the beginning. He had to bring kabbalas for them because maybe they blessed God right. in their actions.
But then much of the book wouldn't make much sense.
The way the friends talk, yeah.
Right. There's no way the Radak could be saying three that weren't living at the same time, but the zechus of the three.
It doesn't make sense. Difficult, but yeah. Right. So he says at different levels. If you have three, they can save this. If you have 10, they can save that. If you have, they keep going more and more, and they can save different parts of the city. Okay, but there will not be such a situation. Let's finish this long Radak. It's a great source to finish. Incidentally, there's a Ramban in Bamidbar, in Parshas Korach, where Hashem tells Moshe, "Get away from this Ibadla Mitocha Eidah Azos." Right? It says because you will fall in their evil. Kibicha Shak Vafalteu. You know, so you know, Yipol Mitzidcha Elef Uvavam Minecha Lecha Leigash. You know, but. Point of Hashem telling Moshe, listen, your tzidkus would not save you if you stay right there with those guys. Right? It's a pasuk in Bamidbar, Bamidbar Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud. That's the paraphrase I just gave. Okay, so 10 will save the whole town. K'moshe kasuv v'nasasi l'chol ha'makom b'avuram. But if they save a whole town from Misa, they might not save a whole town from Golos. Right? Or some other sin, punishment. I don't know who this is. How can anyone say that he falls in this category? We see even Moshe, the Pasuk I just mentioned. He cleaves to me, I will save him. I said 128. Hashem, even though there was a sheiris from Anatot, if this is Anatot, Hashem did not reveal that to Yirmiyahu. How do you know? Because he would have said so. You know, back in chapter 11, he speaks as if though it's not happening. The Navi is not told everything, right? So these 128 people that returned could have been Yirmiyahu's children and descendants. But at this point, Yirmiyahu feels like there's no tekuma from this place. So Yirmiyahu, really, I can understand this in in the context of a prophecy in Sefer Yechezkel, chapter 24, he's told, your wife will die, and I don't want you to mourn for her. You know, accept company, serve them food. They're supposed to serve you. We learn all sorts of things. They're supposed to serve you the first meal, where your tefillin, it says, or Nabu does my tefillin the first day. Whatever your Yechezkel is told to do, Maran Mord Cotton learns Halachos Avelus the other way. So people would ask him, Yechezkel, why aren't you observing the regular mourning rites for your wife? And he would say, because times will come where you will not be able to mourn your loved ones. There'll be such a terrible punishment that you won't. When your relative dies, you'll be so busy worrying about you not dying, you won't have time to sit, which is a circumstance that faced my father never had. That eight siblings, parents, and didn't sit shiva for him. Doesn't know a single day of your sites with certainty, and he never sat shiva. I know he's 83 years old. Never sat shiva.
Right.
It's exactly the Nevuah of Yechezkel.
Right. In other words, in such great catastrophe, you can't.
Right. So here too, your people would ask him, you're a young man. Why did you marry? You know, he goes, well, everyone's never going to be. And then you give him the answer of what this parak is talking about. So that Hashem does that to the Nevi'im. Let's do one more pasuk. Yichor Mar Hashem, pasuk Hey. Al Tavo Beis Marzeach, Val Telech Lispod, Val Tanod Lahem. Kiyosafti Yeshlamim Eisa Amazenu Hashem Esachesed Vesarachemim. So this is just like Yechezkel Perek Chaf Dalet, to get the people to ask. Now, Targum translates Veis Marzeach as Beis Marzecha. So what's interesting is that in Chazal, depending on its context, Beis Marzeach can sometimes be a Beis Mishteh and sometimes be a Beis Ovel. Okay.
Sounds interesting.
Rashi says Beis Mishteh.
Yeah.
Sifrei Parshas Beis Paor, Raisi Chazru La'asos Lehem Marzichim, Avar Vaseinu Pershu, Marzeach Ovel.
Strange.
Yeah, it's words like that in Hebrew that mean one thing and its opposite. So he says, don't go to the Beis Marzeach, don't go to the Beis Mishteh. And also, Al Telech Lispod, Val Tanod Lehem, and don't go, you won't even be able to mourn. In other words, you won't have a rejoicing, and you won't have the mourning that you would like to have, that you would want to have.
Tanod means
be alone, like nova nod by alone. Yeah, but here it means don't wander nudi and contemplate what the loss is to you. You won't have time to. This pasuk is mamish like I think Marzeach here means Beis Avel. Okay, we'll stop with this pasuk, and then we'll continue with pasuk Vav next time. Okay, we're in Perek Tetzayin, we're up to Pasuk Vav. Umesu Gedolim Uktanim Ba'aretz Hazos. The Gedolim, Ktanim, you think not just the Ktanim, the weak ones. Kol Mesim, Rashi says. Right? V'lo Yikaveru, they will not even be buried. V'lo Yispadu Lahem, V'lo Yispodad, V'lo Yikareach Lahem. The end of this Pasuk is really quite difficult, because what you have to say is that he's being sarcastic. Because lo tiskodidu, lo tosim korcha meni nichem lemeis, these are averos. Yirmiyahu is speaking, you know what? Your children will die. And
right.
No one is, and when he says no one, they won't be buried, okay,
right.
We're supposed to bury. They won't be eulogized, okay, we're supposed to eulogize
right.
When someone dies. But then he turns to satire or sarcasm. And you know what? Those other things you're doing, because he's mentioning now, things that are usher. You following?
No, what things does he mention that are usher?
Kerech and...
Here.
He mentions Lois go to do. You're not going to do that. That's gashing your skin.
The lo yispadu. What is yispadu?
We'll
make a hester.
Right.
Okay. So all these things are sort of...
The children will die. They won't be buried. And they won't
right.
be eulogized.
All those
but
things
then
are
he says, and no one will gash themselves.
For the dead. Oh,
and no one, and no one will give themselves baldness. But
those two laven.
Right. So you see, in other words, he's mentioning the two that we expect to be done for
right.
this, with two
right.
that they're not to
right.
be. I'll just give you another example of this, and you'll see that it's really the same thing. I told you that Yirmiyahu was very much affected by Hosea. Hosea does something exactly like this. He says, days will come where you will no longer have a king, and you will no longer have your sarim, your officers, you will no longer have your matzevos, and you will no longer have your trophim. Now matseva is very osir in the Torah, Parsha Shoftim, trofim or mamash avodah zara. But he's saying, you know, I think even earlier in the pasuk he talks about you will not have kavanos anymore. But he lists things that you
trofim and matzevos are distinguished in where?
Are forbidden things.
Yes, but where are they distinguished between the difference between a matseva and a trof? What's a trofim?
Trofim are avodah zara figures.
Also figures. Like matzevas, right? Like matzevas.
A matseva is an altar that's one big stone. Even though Avram did seem to use one, but Hashem liked it then, and Rashi says Hashem stopped liking it later. But the point is that Yirmiyahu is doing here, he mentions a few things that I'll take away from you that you would probably want to have, even a good observant Jew would want to have, like a kabbanos, a king, and a certain officers. And he lists with them, sarcastically, some of the other things that you have that you ought not to. In other words, like we might say with sarcasm, you know what? Things keep going on in the shul the way they are. We're not going to have a minion. We're not going to have children's groups, and we're not going to have kiddush club,
and
we're not
dancing. Going to have and you won't have the dancing. Something. Won't have the rock parties, the
disco. Or just it is what right. they do. What they did, so right. it would be a tremendous loss for them if it was awesome.
Correct. So he's saying it in a sarcastic way, perhaps. But he's saying with all the things that you're doing, it's very mistaber. It's very. It fits. It fits that someone would speak this way.
Meaning you're saying that he's saying that the stuff you're familiar with, the good and the bad, is all going to be gone.
Taken from you. Excellent. Exactly what it is. Okay. V'lo yifrisu al evel lenachamo al meis. Right? Lo yifrisun. The Targum doesn't help us too much here. It's lo yifrisun. Right? Lo yifrisu. Rashi says lashon shvira, kimo manei manei takel ufarsin. Most people are aware of these four words, but it's taken out of context. This is the handwriting on the wall in Daniel. Right? Means we always say, did you read the handwriting on the wall?
Right.
That's where this comes from. But lashon shvira, so the word afar ufarsin is a great pun that Daniel is using with the people, because the thing that would break the Babylonians, upon whose wall this was written, was which nation?
Oh, Paras.
Paras. So it's a pun. So lo yifrisulahem here means that no one will be broken in mournful.
No one will hear. It says break bread. Another shvarim lecha, right? It says
okay. Could be that.
Oh, right. Or what? What were you saying?
Yeah, shemavarin sa'avelim berchava uforsin lehem birkas hamotzi.
Right.
So it says kihu yivarecha zebach tirgem yonasan arehu pris al mezona. In fact, that's the lashon that you find in the Gemara. Poreis. What do we say? Akide achilas.
Pras.
Which is the breaking of the bread.
I always thought it meant the way a Persian thing is.
No. This pras is half a loaf of bread. Okay, so so to comfort them, the mace. We already spoke about that in the previous few psukim, that there will be no one to mourn, and you won't be able to mourn for them. Too busy worrying about your own life. Lo yashkuo sam kos tanchumim al aviv alimo, and no one will give you the kos of nechama. The Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos in the first parak refers to this custom that they used to give the mourners wine to drink, a number of cups, until they could just forget their sorrow in the wine.
In the Avelos?
Birchas Rachba. Oh, the Ron already says in the Middle Ages they stopped doing
it. What were you going to say? That it's usher to...
No, we don't do that. No, just don't do that.
But,
no, this is after the funeral has taken place. So wine is usher to an oni. It wouldn't be matir deraisa. But wine and meat are...
Oh, that's the deraisa?
Wine and meat.
The wine?
The isra.
Really?
So, we learned it from Aaron. Right? Also, Meister Shani is usher to an oni. Okay, so no one, it's just a sign that there will be no mournful practices. And now you see the similarity to what I described from Yechezkel, Perkhav Dal, his wife. Ubeis mishte lo tavo lo shevesosam lechov lishtos. Right? When people ask, why aren't you coming to a Beis Simcha? Right? Why I have a Simcha going on. Why aren't you coming? He goes, so you can answer them. I'm not coming now out of anticipation of the fact that times will come where no one can go to a Beis Mishteh. Right? To eat or to drink. This is what Yirmiyahu would say. Ki cho amar Hashem tzvokosa, lokei Yisrael. Nima shpis min hamakom hazeh le'neichem uvimeichem. I will cause these things to cease from this place to your eyes, in your days. I'm not making idle threats for what something will happen after my life. Kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chason v'kol kala. Very famous. So that later in the book, when Yirmiyahu says, we will once again have these things, that's why the song starts. Od yishama b'ariyu. Okay? Right, so I will cause these things to cease in the land. Right, no one will even want to get married. I'm telling you now, not to get married here. Right, and all of this is in Hosea. Hosea also speaks about. In fact, the pasuk in the Gemara in Gittin that we're not supposed to be singing secular songs, not supposed to be drinking, and the iser that the Gemara speaks about a Jew going to a place of drinking of Gentiles. A bar is al tismach el gil. It's supposed to sound familiar. It's all from Hosea. They could have quoted from here too. Somewhat, but it's a little different, perhaps. They say oz yimolei chok pinu, but in the future we'll come back to us. But I don't think we've come to that day yet. Quite. V'hayaki sagid la'am hazeh is kol adrim ha'ele. When you tell the people these things, v'amru elecha, it's supposed to good. Al medi ber Hashem aleinu is kol ra hagdol hazos. Umeavoneinu, mechatosenu asher chatanu l'Hashem Elokeinu. So you see what the people are saying here. You know, they're oblivious. What are we doing? What's wrong?
Right.
There's a pasuk like this a little earlier in the Sefer, which is Yirmiyahu bemoans the fact that not anyone is remorseful over his deeds, saying, Meosinu. Actually, it's ma'as me'osisi. It's in singular. What have I done? So the Alshech says that what he's trying to say, Yirmiyahu is wondering, how come none of you say, oy, me'osisi, what have I done? But on the other side, the Radak says, no. People are saying, me'osisi, what have I done? I haven't done anything. That's what this pasuk is.
Right.
So in that other pasuk, you can see it can have two different understandings. But in our pasuk, it's, they say, right.
You sound very
German. Right. In our davening, we say, what do I have? I'm a nothing, I'm a zero, I'm no
right.
Kuyos.
Right.
Right?
Right.
From our Talayhem, Alasher Azvu Abosechem Osinu Mashem, the Yehuachare Elohim Acherim, the Avdum, the Shtechavulahem, the Osiozavu, the Estarasilo Shamaru. Because of what your parents have done all these years, I've sent somebody in the Nevi'im to bring them back. No one's at home. No one's listening. And they worship the Bodhisattva. And me, they left. Vosiozav. Remember we had, back in Perek Beis, Vosiozvu mekor mayim chayim. What did we say? Al ma'av doha aretz, al ozvom es torasi. It's one thing, there's a difference between knowing what the Torah is and not keeping it. And making it a zvomistorasi is more like what the Reformed movement did in the 19th century, to say it's obsolete, it's
like
barbaric,
it's
a rejection. It's one thing to say, I know what the Torah has done for the Jewish people, and I just don't keep it. I'm lazy, I'm whatever it is. But Allah's zvomistorasi is much worse. You're leaving all your armor behind. You're leaving all every protection that we've ever had. You're rejecting. We don't have it anymore. So the Torah is at least to acknowledge that the Torah you're not keeping is something that's good for the Jews. Incidentally, that was the Reform movement, really, such a clean break from Torah and Torah ideals, at least in terms of rituals, in its early manifestations. But now you see
that it's
really
very early,
back.
In the very early, not so much. Very early, it was tiny little things.
Yeah.
The bima was a big deal already. To not to take
a
bima out.
Slippery slope.
Yes. But I'm saying in the beginning, it was pretty. But no. But in the beginning,
the slope was a steep angle.
It was more like a 90-degree.
So it was. But now they're coming back to more
yes,
visual
yes.
Torah study.
But isn't there more like the Maskilim and the socialists and who really just cut themselves off completely.
So this is what he's talking about, the Ozvu, the Lashon of Ozvu. You see it often in Yirmiyahu. Perek Beis and Perek Ches. Perek Tes. Okay. V'atem hare osem la'asos me'avosechem. You've done even worse than your parents. All right, so Yirmiyahu himself discusses this in Perek Gimel over the difference between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. He might just be talking about Yehuda upon Yehuda. But Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel does it too, that as bad as the previous generations were, you've become worse. And that's true. Yehuda tended to have, through Sefer Melachim, half-decent kings on occasion, as opposed to the northern kingdom, which never had a good king. Even Yehu turned bad. But the point is that the worst days of Yehuda was after the fall of the 10 tribes. Right. They had Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu, a small oasis of good kings, but you know, your Menashe, who ruled for 55 years with an iron fist and turned Israel to a polytheistic state filled with the blood of those who objected. I mean, it's a wonder how he survived that, but it was because of his grandson Yoshiyahu who enacted a great...
Do you think there was some effect on their outlook as a result of the collapse of the 10 tribes? Because why would they have suddenly...
If I were to explain it historically and scientifically or scholarship, I would say that Menashe's plan was that I'm too weak to listen to the prophets saying that Tshuva will help us. The other way I can think is to kiss up to the Assyrians and start to worship their gods.
Oh, I see.
The gods that are listed in Malachim Beis and Perek Chaf Aleph that Menashe incorporated are all Assyrian deities.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right? So he felt, you know, and now was he correct? Are we never supposed to acknowledge and justify and understand the Avodah Zarah? But if I were to explain it from that standpoint, you know,
especially if you've seen the 10 tribes, just, you know,
right. That's what Yirmiyahu keeps doing. Right. Guys, you saw what they did. You saw what their result was. And that's why he's so much like Hosea. I've given that as papers a few times, but it deserves a good treatment, like a short little book, maybe, about Hosea's influence on Yirmiyahu. Certainly an article or something. Yeah. Okay, so you still went after the waywardness of your heart. Look, in every generation, someone could read Yirmiyahu since his own time and figure how we're behaving in a similar way. And, right?
So, Haresam, you went and did worse.
Avashtun lemebad meavasach. You made worse than them than they were. Okay. All right. I think we'll stop with pasuk b'beis. Okay. We're pasuk b'gimel. Behitalti eshem me'al haaretz hazos al haaretz asher lo yedatem atem ba'avoseichem. I will remove you from this land to a land that you and your fathers did not know. In the Torah, it says, in the day you'll say when is the night, in the night you'll say when is the day, and you will have no respite. You will not have a hard day's work and say, I could rest at night. Right? Get so bad that get this bad before they get better.
When it says, Vavadatem Shema as Elohim, they mean literally going to be worshiping of Azara?
So no, what Rashi says, he quotes the Targum. All right, he says you will serve a people who worship of other gods.
Okay, but that's not
the pshat. But
I mean, it's not, yeah, the
Targum Yonah son, it's palchun tamon la amamaya polchei tavasi yamam v'layla. You will serve a people, and those people often force their slaves like we do. So. We give our slaves a bris, and we don't convert them mamish, but we make them do. We give them mitzvahs lo sase. The gzeirah shavah lo lo from that they do the women's mitzvahs.
So okay, that's so, about no rest, but l'cham chanina is meaning from actual work, from menial labor. I mean, as opposed to serving gods, if you saw it as the Elohim Acherim. Presumably, that's not.
Oh, look, we see what Perush that Targum is trying to avoid. And you're saying, you're giving a good raya for it. Because they were, what would be the no chanina from worship before the Zara? Oh, look at this. People make us do every second. They make us worship before the Zara. My goodness.
Well,
people,
in my Hebrew, anyway, chanina is a pardon. You know, when they just accept the chanina. So, he's not, God's not going to forgive. If you take it literally,
arrest would be in chaniyah, maybe, or, rest. Chaniyah is a stop, On a bus, I think it's called a chaniyah, isn't it?
That's a park.
Chaniyah.
Huh? Parking spot? Maybe,
That's a
parking. Chaniyah. Right.
A place to rest. Alright, so. Okay, so he says, Lochain, Hinei Amibba Imnu Mashem, Velo Yomer Odchai Hashem Asher Lois Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim. Therefore, I am. What he's saying is that things will get so bad before they get good. They'll get so bad that it'll be worse than what happened in Mitzrayim. That when you get out of this mess, you will consider yourself to have left Mitzrayim and worse. Do you see the pshat of this? Okay, in Perek Chav Gimel, there's a slightly different message to it. Now, this is in the Gemara taken to an extreme to talk about Yemos HaMashiach. However, Rabbanel and the Ramban, in his commentary to the Torah and the Pasuk HaShezeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim, take this to refer to the Babylonian exile. Rabbanel just says, when people take oaths, they will no longer say, when they go into court, Chai Hashem, Asher Ha'loz, Bnei Yisrael, Meretz Mitzrayim. That's how they used to take oaths, apparently, the Rabbanel said. We know it from here. And the Ramban and the Rabbanel says that today, they'll no longer say that. They're not changing anything. They're just changing the way we refer to Hashem. Ramban says it changes the way we refer to the months. That until the Babylonian exile, we always called the months Mitzes, Bnei Yisrael, Meretz Mitzrayim. And now, with the Babylonian exile, we call them by names. Ramban actually writes there a prescription. I hope I can change what you do also now. If you probably have heard me say this about not naming, that you can name the months just as we name the day of the week, right?
Right.
Even though the day may be a reference to Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says that the months are Avodah Zarah names. Tammuz is not Avodah Zarah.
Right.
Thursday, Saturn's day. These are Avodah Zarah. That's okay as long as we know. It's the same halacha that you can use a girl can use a Barbie doll even though it looks like an ancient Astarte. So we know, because we know today that a teddy bear is not an object of worship. It's even though it's an animal, and people used to make them years ago like that, 2,000-3,000 years ago, and they were probably Osipana then. But Lamaisa, we see that they're different. So too, we know the days of the week, like Rabbi Gamliel's celestial objects that he held in his house, the famous Gemara Rosh Hashanah. So Lamaisa, the Ramban says that it would be wrong to give new numbers of the week. If you look at the Christian calendar, the day, the week always starts with Monday. Our calendar starts with Sunday, right? Because the day they're looking to is Sunday. So the day we're looking to is Shabbos. So to refer to today as Yom as a different day of the week, Yom, the fifth day of the week, is really a trespass, right? But then why isn't referring to this month as the fourth month of the year a similar trespass? So the Ramban says it is. You can give it a new name. You can call it April, but don't give it a new number. If you're going to number the months, it should only be Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you're going to number the days, it should only be in fulfillment of Zechariah Yom Shabbos Lekadsho. By saying Yom Yom Shishi by Shabbos, which the Ramban says is a kiyum in Zechariah Yom Shabbos Lekadsho. You have to remember Shabbos every day of the week, not just when it's easy to do so.
Right, but I've seen where when you say the Shir Shal Yom, you're actually supposed to say Yom Yom Shishi by Shabbos, and you are kind of that mitzvah.
Yeah, you should have come on for it, yeah. Okay, so that's why when I say Mitzvah Shalom Shabbos, not that it's different Indian, I stand for it, because we tend to stand for the Yom, because it's Mamash Akir. When you keep kind of mitzvah, you should be standing. Okay. All right, I'll leave it with those three interpretations. Chachamim Ben Zoma and Brachas, Rabbanel on oaths, and Rabban on months.
But why would, for the other purpose, they would suggest that the return from Babel was a greater miracle.
It was supposed to be a greater miracle. Shigaram Achet, the Gemara in Sota says, right? Supposed to be. The Nevi'im speak of the Chagai and Zechariah, Gedol Yekavod Abayit Azeh Achron, Min HaRishon. The Nevi'im Achronim speak with great promise about what we see now. Didn't, at best, in the Hanukkah story, we had a small degree of independence. And the answer may very well be, perhaps not from this purely historical standpoint, but from a Hashgafic standpoint, is that Hashem said, I can't make these things come. I'm going to let the Greeks take rule the way I had not planned, perhaps, because so few of you came back. I'm going to do all these miracles for 42,360 people. It was just a pittance. Right. So the blame, I think, is in the Gemara, if I read between the lines properly, is at Mordechai. It's Rov Vechov, Pirshu Mimenu of Sanhedrin, because with Mordechai in such a position of power, the Jews of Persia felt, well, we should go to Israel. No, we'll stay here. We're fine here. Look, one of ours is second in command. This is great. If Mordechai had not been there, the Jews would... But then again, you can say, would they have been able to leave in such great masses ruled by the Persians? Adrabah, Mordechai could have felt, with my position here, maybe more Jews will feel strong enough to get up and go.
Well, not only that. I mean, who's to say that, given how compliant the nation was to Haman's anti-Semitic plot, if Mordechai...
Absolutely. It's a judgment.
Really easily could have.
It's a judgment on his part to say, I need to be in a position to save my people from another Haman. Possibly, there are plenty of them. So there were Tzorei Yehuda, not just one Tzorei Yehudim. And Nehemiah refers to the Tzorei Yehuda, there were a lot of them. So he headed such a large group. Okay, so that's really a judgment that history will have to bear. But it doesn't change the subject that very few Jews did return. And that the promises of Yechezkel, of Yirmiyahu, even in chapter 31, Yechezkel in his last 9 prokim, Chagai and Zechariah, just pitifully did not, Chazal were well aware of this when they said Shegaram Achet. What was the Chet? Achet is in the very least that they didn't return. Malachi refers to a working second commonwealth that's not working so well. There's a lot of intermarriage, and they're not really giving their role in the Beis HaMikdash. So the rest is history, Shame. Hineni sholeach ladayogim rabim neum Hashem v'digum v'achrechin eshlach l'rabim tzayadim v'tzadum me'al kol har u'me'al kol giva u'minikikei hasloim. I will send fishers and hunters. This is a very, very famous Christological prophecy. Are you familiar with it? To send the fishers and the hunters.
Fishers.
A fisher of men.
Are you familiar with this design that's now on a lot of...
The fish.
Yeah. I think that's... It has to do with Jesus getting a lot of fish for the hungry people, I think.
He said to Simon, he said, I will make you a fisher of men. You're a fisherman, I'll make you a fisher of men.
If you remember, we had this Pastor Rawson, Kenneth Rawson, over here about a few years ago. He's Mamish, a righteous Gentile. He wrote a book. I have it. It's Know Your Jewish Heritage. It's really an amazing thing. He thinks that he's trying to go travels the world. He's been to over 100 countries. I have pictures of him embracing Rebbeim and Reb Grossman.
Patrick Ross.
His name is Kenneth Rawson.
Kenneth Rawson.
Rawson. R W S O N. He has a church in Virginia, I believe, and he just travels the world with this film that he made, about an hour-long film. The thesis of the film is that we want the Jews to be not fat for conversion. We want them to be in a healthy religious state, because when they are, the world thrives. And he goes throughout history from Abraham to Shoah. All the way through the World War II.
Wow. What is he, a historian by...
The Jews are protected and have it. Well, the whole world thrives.
Wow.
And the opposite is also true. The world suffers. The Jew is suffering. The Jew suffers. The world is suffering. It's just... goes throughout history.
He's a minority.
No, I understand. But he is...
A unique man.
His point is that he wants to teach the Jews their heritage, because he believes in the Torah's promises, that if the Jews know their heritage, the Jew keep the mitzvah, the Jew will thrive, and therefore the world will thrive. It's as simple as that. Because the Jew keeps a mitzvah, does the world a favor. This is the Ben Noach. So I asked him when he was here, I said, well, so why don't you just convert to Judaism? Because I would...
He said, I would.
But I can do you more good as I am now than...
Wow.
He's probably right.
Wow.
I mean, he's an amazing guy. I wanted to pay him for it. He's like, I can't take any money. I just do this.
What's he a pastor for? Does he have a church? Does he have a...
Yeah. He says, I do not believe in the deity of Jesus.
He believes in the greatness of Jesus.
He brought a good message to give.
He must be a Gilgal one.
After we finish, I'll show you. It's a smaller pamphlet, about 100 pages. It's really a good Baal Tshuva material. Right? And if you read it, you'd be hard pressed to believe that it was written by someone not Jewish. Anyway, so I'm telling you this is because half of his film is about the church's persecution of the Jews, that they've been the hunters of the Jews, and I'm the fisher trying to get you in a net, just not hurting you, get you in a net and put you in a good place. So anyway, that's what this is.
So this is
the source.
All
the disputations revolve around Yeshayahu, but in fact, Yirmiyahu is you really know you need to know your Yirmiyahu in order to fully the New Testament is here, chapter 31.
Right.
These prophecies about Yetzias Mitzrayim are certainly used very much, and in which we get to Perek Chaf Gimel about the divinity of the messianic figure is derived from the verse there. So it's really the fascinating thing is that Rashi reads the pasuk that way. That the messianic name is Hashem Tzidkenu. So the Lubavitch point out to that. So but I would just say it shows that Rashi didn't care about Christian polemics. It could possibly be read that way, but I prefer to read it. This is the name that Hashem Tzidkenu will give to Mashiach, and the name is Tzemach. I'm calling Tzemach Tzadik. V'zeh asher yikro shmo Hashem Tzidkenu. This is the name that Hashem Tzidkenu will give him.
But there's no possible basis that Rashi believed in the idea of the
incarnation. No, of course not. But Rashi reads the pasuk, Zeh asher yikro shmo.
Right.
This is the name that Mashiach will be given, Hashem Tzidkenu. So he says because he will bear God's name, not that he is God. But that's just sort of feeding into the Christian idea that Hashem Tzidkenu is a description or some of the messianic figure. So, and then I saw that some English translations, the Art Scrolls English translation, reads it that way. Now, the people who were concerned with Christian disputation said that's not what it's saying. The previous pasuk gives the name of Mashiach Tzemach. Zeh Asher Yikro Hashem Tzidkenu. This is the name. And Zechariah in Perek Gimel calls Mashiach Tzemach also. So it appears that that's how Zechariah understood that Nevuah.
But how else do you explain it? That what's being, the, what's the
one pasuk says, I'm raising up a Tzemach Tzadik redeem my people.
Right.
Zeh Asher Yikro Shmo Hashem Tzidkenu.
Right. That you will call him Hashem Tzidkenu. Ah.
That would. Space, but
right, that would give.
A later Navi seemed to understand it differently. So Rashi, there's an argument amongst some scholars whether Rashi cared about Christian theology.
Yeah,
Christian
there are other indications that his behavior is a rebuttal.
Right, and there are other indications that if Rashi cared so much, he wouldn't have said things like this. But so instead of the extremist positions taken by Twito, who says that Rashi never polemicizes, and the extremist position of Sarah Kamen in the doctoral thesis, where she says that Rashi very often polemicizes, I'd rather be my own judge on an individual basis and say, like on a pasuk of Erev Yibakri Yemachod, which Rashi seems to say the world was not created by two or three gods, but only by one. That seems to be some kind of, if not anti-Christian, anti-Zoroastrian. But you see that I'm actually talking about that Rashi tomorrow. Okay, let's finish this up. So he says, "Ki einai al kol darchehem lo nistru milfanai v'lo nitzpan avonam mineged einai." My eyes are upon you. What you're doing is not hidden from me. V'shilamti rishon mishne avonam v'chadosam al chalalam esetzi b'nevilas shikusem esolusem maluas nachlasi. I will punish them with a double punishment. And this goes back to what we said back in chapter 2. Remember, you did two terrible things to me. You left me. And you went to the Avodah Zarah. It looks like, you left me for the Avodah Zarah. That's one thing. It's really two things. Because it's one thing to leave Zeus for Jupiter. But it's totally another thing to leave Hashem for, So here, one of the two things is that you did a terrible thing, but you did it in my land. And my land has a special Kedusha to it. It's one thing for Titus to take a zona someplace in Har Bayis, but another thing to take her into the Kodesh Kedoshim. Hashem Uzi Uma'uzi. Now, this is actually the start of the Haftorah of the Chukosai. Does it sound familiar? Right. So I'm not going to start it. I know it sounds like a whole parak, but if I were Bishop Langton, I would have ended Parak Tet Zion here. Right. Remember, he's the bishop who assigned chapter numbers to the books of the Zion. Right. So this is a new.
So you would have ended the paragraph.
I would have ended the paragraph there. All right. So I'm going to stop that with that at this point. Okay.
Right. Okay.